Welcome to Gateway's podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
Well, we're in the process of moving my mom into a retirement area that's still fully self-sufficient and in an apartment. And so, you know, it has its moments because she has to give up her stuff, a lot of it. And, you know, stuff is really important to some people. And so, you know, she'll say, why are you saving all of this? She said, well, I'm saving it for you. I said, well, let me help you with that. You know, it's not, you know, we've got our own stuff we're trying to get rid of. But anyway, yesterday she was at the grocery store. And she was in her car or at the car putting her groceries in the car. A guy drove by and snatched her pocketbook out of the cart. She didn't even see it happen. She turned around and saw her pocketbook was gone. So she went back inside and was talking to them and said, hey, I think I left my pocketbook in here. And they said, well, let's check the video. And they, sure enough, they saw, well, you've just been robbed. And my brother was about a mile away, so he got there very quickly. And he's a fire captain, and he called his buddies in the police department. And they all came, and they took care of her. And she just had, you know, I was amazed. She just had such a sweet spirit about it. And she wasn't fearful or anything. And so the police officer said, now, can you tell me how much cash was in your pocketbook? And here's how the story goes. Well, I had a card that somebody had given to me, and it's a really pretty card. I wish you could see it. And here's what it said. Here's what it wrote. You know, it had these words in it, and she told them all the words. And then they wrote this in it, and Elliot was sitting there going, Mom, he just needs to know how much cash was in there. I'm getting to that. Just hang on. And you know, so she goes on and on about this card because that was more important than the money. And so basically she got robbed about $100, $120 cash. And we shut her credit card down or her bank account down quickly. And but this one man who was just in there observing it was just kind of taken back by her attitude. And he came up to her, and he was actually crying. He said, you know, I hope you don't think that everybody's bad out there, because there are a lot of us who love Jesus. And he gave her some money, and just, you know, it's kind of like, well, it doesn't matter how much he gave. It's just the fact that he did that. And so, you know, I'm praying for my mom as she recovers from that. I'm praying for the guy who did it. I would like to talk to him first, then pray for him. You know, and as I'm helping him up, and then I would pray with him. I don't have a lot of patience with people like that who take advantage of elderly people. And so that just, you know, that's sad. But anyway, it just shows you the heart of some people. And I appreciated that about my mom and her heart. And so today we're starting a series called 21 Days of Prayer. And we're going to talk about today about how we got to pray first. And if we're going to be praying people, which we are called to be, well, we need to know how to pray. And I'm amazed at how many of us really just don't know how to pray. And you would think it would be easy, it would be natural. But to me, it's one of the greatest spiritual battles that happens, because Satan understands what power is unleashed through a praying Christian and what power is unleashed from Holy God. And so he wants you to stay uncomfortable about praying. He wants you to not have time for prayer. He wants to do everything to divert you from praying. And so I just want to talk through about what it looks like to pray first. Well, you know, maybe it's the first thing you do in the morning is when you wake up, you say, good morning, Lord, I dedicate this day to you. I mean, if that's how you begin your day, immediately you're setting an attitude, a tone for your whole day. Lord, this day is yours. I've got a lot of stuff to do, but it all belongs to you. Be with me in school, be with me at work, but today, Lord, I dedicate this day to you so that everything that I do is for your glory. And I pray that I just am thinking about you all day long. So that's a great way to start your day. Good morning, Lord. Today, I dedicate this day to you. And, you know, we were always it was always important to us to pray for our kids as they would leave the house every morning. And or if they were going out somewhere, we always prayed for them. And so, you know, in the morning before they were heading to school, we'd say, Lord, bless my children, teach them how to be leaders, not followers. And we would pray those kind of prayers over them. And so even now, when we gather as a family, we always pray together. And we ask about how we can pray for each other. And I pray for my son-in-law who works with 11th grade kids and teaches English. And it's kids that can have a tough background. And he works hard to build a relationship with them and just be a motivator to them. And so I pray for him. Just, Lord, just be with Zach as he influences these vulnerable teenagers in such a impoverished area. And so I just pray for your family, pray for your kids. And so maybe even taking this pray first attitude, Lord, before I send this email, is this honoring to you? Do I need to send this email? You know, is this something I should or should not do? Is this email honoring to you? You know, when I tell our staff, we have a hard, fast rule. If you ever get a negative email from the church, to the church, well, you know, we always tell the staff, say, look, you don't respond back to that negative email. Rather, you pick up the phone and you call. You have a conversation. But if you start going back and forth and lobbying emails to each other, trying to defend yourself, it never works well. It never comes out on a nice ending. So you just call and you talk to them. And because people kind of talk differently than they write. And so just, you know, before you send an email, pray about it. Before you make a phone call that you know can be a little difficult, pray about it. Ask God to be glorified in it. So you always pray first. Before you go into that meeting with an employee or a boss that you know is going to be tense, you pray before you do it. Pray first. 1 Thessalonians says, always be joyful. Always. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Wow, this is pretty tough stuff. There are a lot of things I'm not thankful for. There's some circumstances I'm not happy about. Yeah, you know, you've had things happen to you. Let's be honest, it's a struggle to be thankful for it. Unless I start with God first. And I can say to God, now, Lord, this circumstance has hit me. I don't like it. But you tell me to be thankful in all circumstances. So this circumstance is not a surprise to you. You're allowing it to happen. So maybe there's something you want me to learn from this, and you're going to make me a stronger, better person. You're preparing me more for heaven through this circumstance. So in that regard, I thank you. You see the difference that begins to develop in your attitude and your heart when you pray like that? You see, pray continually, never stop praying. That means pray first in every situation. Always pray first. You know, every time I'm meeting somebody for lunch, even if it's just a get-together with no agenda, I always pray in the car as I'm walking in. I'd say, Lord, if there are certain things you want me to say or there are certain things you want me to know, I pray that you speak through me. Let me be an encouragement to this person. Let me help them. Maybe they don't even know that they need some help, but let me ask the right questions that will help them in ways that I'm not even aware of, and maybe they're not even aware of. So pray first. Here's the key. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. So often prayer, well, I guess there's nothing left to do but pray. I've heard that so many times from believers, I want to go, are you kidding me? That should be the first thing that you do. You see, our world is in peril. I mean, I hope you would agree with that. Our country, we're on shaky ground. I mean, we are dealing with so many issues on a national level, and there's no easy answer. We see a country, the government that's in chaos. Wouldn't you agree? Our government's in chaos about so many. I mean, they can't even sit at the table with each other. And on top of that, the real action where things are really going to happen are all in the Middle East, according to Scripture. And so what we deal with in this country, it's kind of like kids play compared to what's going to happen in the Middle East. And so knowing that, well, what role do you and I play in what's going on in society? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us. Now listen to this. This is God talking. He says, at times, I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls. God might cause a drought. Or command grasshoppers to devour your crops. God might cause a famine. Or send plagues among you. Now, plagues is not always just limited to a physical ailment. It could be all sorts of dysfunction. But he brings about these things of chaos to get the attention of a certain group of people. And the group of people that he's trying to get their attention are the believers. Because notice what he says. Then if my people, believers, who are called by my name, they belong to me, they're part of my family, if they will humble themselves, and if they will pray, and if they will seek my face. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, face, when you talked about someone's face, it was referring to a relationship, having a relationship with them face to face. And so if we seek a personal relationship with Holy God and then turn from our wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. So when I look at the chaos in Washington, D.C. right now, when I look at the chaos around the world and what's happening in a lot of the major countries, I realize God's focus is on us. And he's saying, hey, I'm just waiting for you to start praying, and I'll start responding to your prayers. So instead of saying, well, why doesn't government do something about this? Or why doesn't president do this? Or why doesn't Congress do this? You know, God's saying, no, that's the wrong question. The right question is, why doesn't my people, why aren't they falling on their face? Why aren't they seeking me? Why aren't they praying? Why aren't they interceding? Because it's through their prayers that I'm able to act. Wow. Pray first. So if prayer is so crucial, so vital, how do I do it? How do I pray? In Luke 1, or chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Now, these guys, they grew up in the synagogue. They grew up learning prayers. They memorized prayers. It's kind of like some faiths today, they have books of prayers. And so you just open the book and you read a prayer. And so these guys would have memorized certain prayers. In fact, most Christians have memorized what we call as the Lord's Prayer. And I think the reality is we miss the whole point. So follow me on this. This prayer was not a prayer to memorize and just rote say it back to God. This prayer is an outline to prayer. You see, when the disciples heard Jesus pray, they're going, wow, we never heard prayers like this in the synagogue. This is a different kind of prayer. This is nothing like the prayers we memorized. And they went to Jesus and said, hey, we want to know how to pray like that. And so Jesus basically said, all right, here's the outline. Here's the foundational outline in how you pray like this. He said, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So if this is an outline, let's break down this outline. There are basically seven pieces and see what we can learn from this. Number one, our Father in heaven. Basically, what Jesus was saying is you need to connect with God relationally. You need to have a personal relationship with him. You need to connect with him that way. In fact, in Romans 8:15, here's what it says. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. Very personal, very personal. He said, this is God. Connect with God on a relational way. This past year, Katie, as a professor at Auburn, one of her responsibilities is she's in charge of international studies. And Auburn has a facility in Italy outside of Rome that Katie's responsible for, and they lease it from the government. So she had to do some business over there. So she calls Mary and says, hey, Mom, I've got to go to Rome, and can you come along? Because I need you to babysit. I said, well, Mary will love that. That'll be great. But she had I need you to do something for me. Well, this past week, Katie called me and said, hey, Dad, I got to go back to Italy, and I thought maybe you would go with me and we could hang out. And then we could go visit some of those World War II war sites, because I know you like doing that. And in fact, I've got a friend over there at the place that we lease, and he's like 92, 93, and he fought at Anzio. I mean, he fought for Italy in World War II, and I thought you would enjoy talking to him and asking him questions. You see the difference between her request of Mary and her request of me? Relationship. And I'm going, oh, Katie, wow, this is special. I'm changing the will. Mac and Mary, psst, they're out. It's all yours. Well, I mean, it melted my heart because it was personal, it was relational. And I rubbed it in Mary's face. She only wants to use you, but she wants me. But that's how we talk to God sometimes. God, here's what I need. I want to be close to you because I need you to do this and I need you to do that. Or is your relationship with God, I just want to hang out with you. I just want to know you. Our Father in heaven, connecting with God relationally. Number two, may your name be kept holy. So worship his name. Worship his name. You see, the names of God have power. And the Bible gives us a whole bunch of his names. And we can use his names to worship him and to reveal his power. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The name is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. So some of the names of God, he's a sanctifier. That's his name. I'm sanctifier. So Lord, you are sanctifier. And because you are, you have sanctified me through your son, Jesus. Well, there's power in that. Lord, you're righteous. And because of what Jesus did, you have declared me righteous. Thank you. And you're showing the power of God. Lord, you're a healer. And you can heal my emotions. Lord, you're the banner of victory. Everywhere you go, there's victory. And I want victory in my life, and I want victory in our country. You're the banner of victory, and we need to show your banner to this world. Lord, you're the good shepherd. You care for me in ways I don't even know. You protect me from things I don't even know that are there. You protect me from dangers and those who would hurt me and wound me. You protect me. Lord, your peace. You give me peace in a world full of war. Lord, you're a provider. I would rather have your provisions than the provisions this world gives me, because they never last. The world's provisions always run out, but yours never do. And then one of the cool names of God is the word there. God, you are the Lord who is there. That means he is personal. He is in presence. He is there. Lord, thank you for not being a God who's way off there, but you're here. You're right here. Number three, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's how this prayer goes. Pray his agenda. Pray God's agenda. You want to have a vibrant, exciting prayer life that gets the Holy Spirit excited and gets God excited? Pray his agenda. Did you not know God had a prayer list? He does. Jesus has a prayer list. In fact, the Bible says Jesus is next to the Father in heaven right now interceding. So Jesus has a prayer list. And if you were to say to Jesus, show me through your Holy Spirit what you want me to pray for, that's a prayer he's going to answer. He's going to say, yeah, let me show you what's on my list. Why don't you join me in praying for what's on my list? Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything that you need. Listen, that's some truth right there. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Jesus, I want to know your prayer list so I can join you and intercede with you. God, I want to know what's important to you. Holy Spirit, part of your job is to teach me how to pray. Show me what to pray for me, to pray for. Show me those things that are on God's prayer list, God's agenda. When I pray like that, then the second part of Luke 12, 31 will come true, and he will give you everything you need. God will take care of you for things you don't even ask about when you're focused on his agenda. Now, that's truth. When you focus on God's agenda and you pray for God's agenda and you pray about what God's concerned about, you're going to wake up and find out God's already taking care of stuff in your life. You didn't even realize. He will take care of stuff before you even know it's a problem. God will meet your needs that you didn't even know you had, because your focus is in the right place. The reason God is not able or willing to meet some of your needs is because you're too busy trying to do it yourself. Let that one sink in. When you start praying God's agenda, he has a way of taking care of your needs. Number four, give us today the food we need. That basically means depend on him for everything. It's a big, big mistake to go to God only when you need something. That's a big mistake, that you only pray when you need something. That's a bad habit. The psalmist says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Now, see, the mountain was the seat of power. That's where it was located. And a lot of times people read this verse and say, God's up in the mountains. Well, the reality is he's asking a rhetorical question, and the answer is no. I look up to the mountain. Does my help come from there? And the answer is no. That's not where it comes from. It says, my help comes from the Lord who made that mountain. My help is bigger than that mountain. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He made the mountain and everything attached to it. My help doesn't come from the stars. It comes from the God who made the stars. That's what that verse means. Number five, forgive us our sins, present tense, as we have forgiven, past tense, those who sinned against us. Get the order right. Get your heart right with God and right with people. And so if I need God to forgive me about something, he says in this verse, he's assuming that I've already forgiven someone who's offended me. You see, if you make a mistake, you do something wrong, who have you offended? You offended God. And before you go and ask God to forgive you, his expectation is you have already given forgiveness for those who've offended you, whether they even ask for it or not, whether they're even aware that they offended you or not. And you don't have to go tell them. So before I go to God about my stuff, he's asking me, he says, before you come to me about your stuff, unload your stuff that you have against other people. And then you can talk to me with a clear conscience. So forgive others. Don't hold grudges against them. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says it plainly, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wickedness. Number six. Now this one, some translations, I don't think quite get it right. Some translations say, and lead us not into temptation. Is that the prayer you were taught growing up? And lead us not into temptation? Well, there's a fallacy in there because, number one, God's not going to lead you into temptation. He's not going to do that. The Bible says he does not tempt, nor can he be tempted. So I don't think that's what that verse says. In fact, if you go back to the original language, here's what it says. And don't let us yield to temptation. Very different. So it's not saying, God, now, don't have a bad day and lead me to temptation. It's almost to suggest, if I yield to this, it's because you led me there. No, no. He's saying, let me not yield to temptation, but rescue me from the evil one. So help me not to yield. So here's the deal. You have to engage in spiritual warfare. That's spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. All right, spiritual battle. I've got a spiritual battle that I'm a part of. And the good news is God's already given me the equipment that I need, called the armor of God. I've got that. And I don't have to go by myself. He goes with me. He goes in front of me. He goes behind me. He surrounds me. And the enemy cannot touch me unless they have the power to go through holy God, which I don't think they do. Lord, don't let me yield to temptation. But rescue me from the evil one. Number seven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What that means is to express your faith in God's ability. Express your faith in God's ability. You know, the Lord's Prayer begins and ends the same. Jeremiah 32 puts it this way, O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Express your faith in God's ability. That's what Jeremiah did. Sometimes you just need to remind yourself who God is. Lord, I've got a mess on my hands. I'm responsible. But you made the stars and you keep them in place. You created this planet. You've made everything. Surely you have what it takes to help me in this mess. Revelation 5:13. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. That's who you serve. That's whose family you're a part of. Why would you not want to pray to somebody like that? You're praying to the power seat of the universe. Face-to-face, personal relationship. Because you're God's child. And He loves you more than you could possibly comprehend. And He's proved it through Jesus. So I'm wondering how many of you need to settle that salvation issue. You just need to settle it. You're tired of trying to save yourself, and it's time to accept God's salvation. Or maybe you have been saved, but you've never chosen to follow through baptism. Maybe it's time to do that. At the end of this 21 days of prayer, we're going to have a baptism service. I want to challenge you over these next 20 days. Think about something you need to set aside for a while so that you can really focus on praying and talking to God. Some people I know are doing a 21-day Daniel fast. You can find Daniel fast online. It'll explain it to you. Some people are doing a 21-day fast from media. Just not watching TV for 21 days, not watching movies or Netflix for 21 days. Stop playing games for 21 days. I want to tell you what. You tell me you don't have time to pray. Just what would happen if you set aside all social media for 21 days? You're going to have the time. And if you say, well, Pastor, I just can't pray for a long time. Well, I just showed you how to do that. If you just prayed through the names of God, you'll find that all of a sudden an hour has gone by. You worship God through His names. If you go back and unpackage everything we just talked about in this one prayer, you'll find that you'll spend hours in prayer. Because it's almost like time stands still when you go into the Holy of Holies.